As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we're going to talk about glitter today.
And Mallory's already laughed at me for like 15 minutes before this started.
Shiny stuff. Yeah, Mom and I.
She's ready to attack me, so get ready for some stuff.
Mom and I do a little catch up before the podcast. And yeah, we had some funny things to talk about today. So glitter is very controversial.
Glitter is,
these days.
Yes.
These days. What do people call it? The herpes of the craft world.
Yeah.
Because it gets everywhere.
Oh, man. Well, okay, glitter. Rude. And, you know, when I used to do snail mail, which I was actually pretty good at, if I say so myself, I always put sparklies in my envelopes, you know?
Yeah.
That would come out, like it was confetti.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, metallic confetti. And people would go, oh, my gosh, every time I get this. And I'm like, what's the problem if it's all over your house?
People, there are services now that will mail glitter to people for you anonymously to torture them.
Yeah, well.
And you just
guess
did
what?
It.
You can't torture me with that.
It won't work on us.
Won't
we'll
work.
Be like, oh,
I just
glitter.
Be happy.
Glitter.
Well, the not this particular showcase that I just did, but the one before it, which was like 6 months ago or whatever, we had glitter on our face.
Uh-huh.
And it was big, chunky glitter, like like the size. It was
There's
sequins.
Different...
It was sequins, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's that big stuff. And Tina, my partner in that show, said, oh, my gosh, I, like, knock all this off my face before I get in my car. It's all over my car. And I go, it's all over mine, too. And, like, I want it in my car. So
and
I
it's
picked,
fine with us.
I picked mine off while I was driving home so it would be, like, in my car.
So you decorate your space.
Yes.
Glitter. Yeah, we have glitter right now. For me, I've got sequins all over my house.
Yes.
Itty-bitty sequins from my tights. And today,
I have those, too.
We're going to talk a little bit about the different ways that manufacturers make fabric sparkly.
Yes.
And then how messy those can be, how not messy they can be. Maybe it'll help you make a choice depending on your project and your glitter tolerance, okay? Because glitter can be fun, but sometimes it can be a pain too. So we're going to cover that. I think we're going to try and categorize this a little bit, but it can be a little difficult to categorize it straight out.
Well, and sometimes you'll come upon a
and
new one where they've done a new combo.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Right.
Yes. The easiest, I think, to deal with is when the fabric has a layer of like shiny foil applied to it.
Okay.
Okay. Or so it's like a holographic,
right,
you know, layer,
uh-huh,
that has been put upon the fabric.
Right.
Or this can be on a knit or a woven.
Right.
You've got some really stretchy, sort of, you know.
I have a lot. We have a lot in the studio that's on spandex. Yeah. Four-way stretch.
If you think of the leggings you see that have the mermaid scales.
Right. Those usually are that.
That's like a foil right. on mm-hmm. there. Okay. So that stuff doesn't shed.
Right. It right? Won't, okay. right. Right.
It won't
it
shed.
It will not shed.
It's not going to shed while you're cutting it. It's not going to shed after you have, you know, made the garment.
Right.
We have some stretch velvet that yes. has the foil applied to right. it, sort of. It's like that. I made a dress
like
out of it.
It's like a crushed velvet, and it has like glitzy parts stuck in it.
Yes, yes. But they're, you know, they're somehow they've been applied to the fabric with like a heat or
yeah,
something
it,
like that.
I think it's a heat. Yeah,
yeah. It's fused on
right.
there.
It's fused on.
It's not coming off.
No.
Okay. So if you have.
At least it's not coming off with normal handling and wear.
Right. There, it's not shedding little particles.
Right.
Could it rub off over time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But generally, it's not going. I mean, I'm sure there's some way you could get it to like transfer
so could
to something
anything.
Else.
Right.
You know, if you like heat right. it up a lot or whatever. Right. Yeah. So there are woven fabrics that have a foiled mm-hmm. effect to them. When you are dealing with some of these, I think more so on the knits, sometimes that foil creates a little more drag.
You do. I think okay. you get a little bit of a drag on your needle.
Yeah.
Yes.
While you're sewing. Even and
Microtex needles, the way I go.
I would say Microtex. And I think Schmetz has some needles out now that they call like their cosplay needles.
Right.
And
they
they're
do,
sharp.
They do have some.
And
wonder,
they're lubricated.
Yeah. I don't know what the difference
they are
is.
Lubricated.
But I'm sure they're thinking about going through that rubbery.
Weird
You know,
stuff.
It's a rubbery, vinyl-y kind of. Coating.
I mean, anything that's strange could
right.
benefit from some lubrication.
Right.
That's a good quote right there.
Wow.
As it was coming out of
wow.
my mouth.
Anything
like, this
that's
is a,
strange
could benefit from some lubrication.
Yeah, Mallory, make that t-shirt and
I
see
will.
How many of those sell.
I'm looking at, so that's like a foil application. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Then I would say.
It's not like woven into or
no.
sewn on.
Yeah.
It is. Somehow glued.
Glued
yeah.
on there. Yeah, so you can have a fabric that is woven or knitted from a metallic fiber, too. Okay?
Yes.
That's, once again, something that may not shed as bad.
Right.
However, everybody's complaining about, like, sequin shedding and glitter shedding everywhere.
And we love it.
But I just cut out some black leggings from, like, an activewear knit.
Uh-huh.
It's got loops on the back.
Yep.
And those loops,
yep.
when you cut them, they spring out.
Yeah.
And it was shedding everywhere.
And they shed
it was
no,
not glittery.
All that stuff sheds. Yeah.
yeah
stuff
so
sheds.
Other fabrics can shed. Yeah. So
I mean, sewing is like lint making.
Right.
Yes.
So I'm looking at our ceiling right now. We have this slanted ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm seeing this that pillow project over there. There's like a gold organza. It's like a poly organza.
Yes.
And there's a silver like jacquard fabric where there's metallic fibers woven in too. Once again, fabrics that can benefit from a sharp needle.
Right.
Yes. Sometimes a small needle, too.
Right.
Because you can pull
right.
those fibers.
And when you
sometimes.
See those little glitzy fibers, they truly are like metal or mylar.
Or plastic.
There's
yeah.
yeah. There's something other than like a fiber that is commonly like when you
well,
think of clothing.
So they're a man-made fiber.
Right.
And then often to be reflective, they're
yes.
a certain shape. They're flatter.
Yes. Sometimes they're flat.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you were to zoom in mm-hmm. on them, they would be to be more reflective.
Right. Right.
You know, they
it would
could
be like little bitty strips
or ribbons.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like little
ribbons.
Bitty
tiny ribbons.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So that can happen too.
Or sometimes it is like a thread with a metallic coiled around it. That that happens too.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So that or it's. Like you, well, like you just said, it's sort of like a mixed
yeah,
fiber
yeah, right.
or something like that. Those, you know, may or may not cause you trouble. But once again, a sharp needle,
yes,
maybe the smallest needle that you can stand to use.
Right.
You know,
that your thread can go through
right.
and not break and carry
yeah, so
on.
Depending on
and
your
have
thread.
Trouble with, right.
But you could start out with like a 70
and the
or
other
80.
Thing is, you know, when we're talking about all these needles, you want an eye big enough that if there is drag on the fabric that the thread does, you know,
right.
go through. So test again. Absolutely. You know, you're probably going to need a couple different kinds of needles in your library.
Okay, I'm looking at our ceiling again. Right. I'm seeing one of your applique.
Got lots of stuff.
Applique samples here. And it is a metallic fabric that then has little metallic sequins that are sort of fused onto it.
Well, and those metallic sequins, I believe, are plastic with a metallic coating.
Right. So it's almost like there's two layers of foiling going
on
there.
And that's on a lycra, like a spandex fabric.
When you cut into that spandex mm-hmm. that has those sequins, you know, directly applied to them, they're not sewn, it's directly on there.
No, they are somehow heat bonded.
Yeah, those sequins don't go flying everywhere.
They do not. They do not flip off and no, they do not.
So I think kind of how I'm guiding this podcast is like going up the glitter tolerance scale.
Yeah.
Or down it. Or down, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have a glitter tolerance
like what you
of
would be
zero.
Least tolerant of. Yes. Going up to the least tolerant.
So ZD and Mallory have a glitter tolerance of 10. Okay.
If it's a scale from 1 to 10,
yeah,
I have
we're
10. Probably 12.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Then
I like to even mix my glitter. My shine, my glitter, my glitz,
kicking the glitter
my
up to 11.
Yeah.
Okay, so once again, when you're cutting that, it won't go flying everywhere.
Right.
Okay. So you're going to be all right there. Once again, that lubricated needle on that metallic knit with those metallic sequins. You will also see sometimes your stitch might not look as pretty when you're stitching through that Mylar sequin or that plastic sequin.
Right. Your stitch might not be in an absolute line perfectly like it would be on, you know.
Some tightly woven linen or
cotton or lawn or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is, while we're here and I happen to be thinking about it, cutting with a rotary cutter is probably your best bet on most of this. For one thing, then you're not damaging your scissors. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not dull.
I
should say.
It's easier to change a rotary blade.
It's easier, less expensive.
Yeah.
It just cuts better. You know, when you go and you put something like these different textures and different, materials through a way a scissors cut,
right,
is it can sort of flip on you and not stay in there right.
That's right. So a scissor, you have two blades and they go against each other, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, this is a really good point.
So it can, like some of those things actually can like basically turn parallel to those blades
and not cut.
Right,
yeah.
Or cut as well.
No, a nice new rotary cutter when you're done with your sequin project, maybe you do want to change your
rotary
blade.
Yeah, you may need to think that this is probably not going to be good for another project.
Right. So we have those foils. Actually, our ceiling is a guide to this podcast.
I know. Well, we even have rhinestones on it.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. So I want to cover, before we go on a break, just a little clarification here. We've been talking about needles, talking about metallic fabrics, but I want to talk about metallic needles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So a metallic needle is actually generally meant to benefit you or help you when you're using metallic thread.
Right. It's not metallic fabric.
So
think about that. Okay.
And actually, when you see the title of the metallic needles, I think maybe Schmetz uses this or a couple other brands, it'll say metal fill.
Yeah.
M-E-T-A-L-F-I-L. And fill or feel in French is thread.
Right. Right.
Okay, so it's saying metal thread needle. You know, so it's not, don't go for that metallic needle.
Thinking it's going to help you with metallic fabric.
Right.
It helps you with metallic thread.
Now, it might be fine. I don't know.
Right, it might work. Well, and it's generally a pretty sharp needle. And there's a big eye there. Because metallic thread drags.
Yes. So it's giving the metallic thread more room to create the stitch. Okay.
I'm feeling all sparkly here.
Are you? Are you?
Yeah,
I'm excited to talk about, I'm excited to go up the glitter tolerance scale.
You know, I had glitter in my lipstick this last weekend. It was like amazing.
It's everywhere.
It's like supposedly food grade.
That's good.
Well, that's what they say.
That's good.
I ate enough of it. I'm not real good with it. But it was also like the permanent lips. It was like amazing. I had metal lips.
And the companies are working on making glitter more environmentally friendly, too, and friendly to the body. Glitter that will recycle better. There's all sorts of different ways to make things sparkly. So we're definitely not
limited.
Yeah, and, yes. and we may not be able to cover everything either, but I just wanted to clarify that about metallic needles.
Right.
And then we're going to take a break, and we're going to make our way on up the glitter tolerance scale. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself,
why,
I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your thigh.
Or your head.
Or your head. Oh, yeah. The head. Right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will
right.
be accurate.
Right.
Right.
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers, or it was a male trainer and a female client. He
right.
didn't have to put his hands on the person
right.
or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure from the zero end.
Yes.
Right. Right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So
yeah.
you've got...
you have imperial. And you have metric,
right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one, because if somebody sees it, a husband or
right?
a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that. Where
fabulous.
You want
yeah.
something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
All right, and we're back. We just spent a little while trying to clarify.
We're trying to...
The glitter tolerance scale.
Right, and we decided that there's not really one glitter tolerance scale.
Yeah.
Scale, because there is a... While you cut the fabric out
tolerance. There's a wearing and a making.
Yeah, there's a wearing... Exactly.
Yeah, there's a wearing and a making
so
tolerance scale.
So when you're building the garment or the project, you're cutting and manipulating and... Stuff could be popping and being cut off and things
right.
like that. Where when you're wearing, it's different.
Yeah.
It has to come off of that surface.
Okay, so we have done a whole podcast episode on dot sequin. I don't know
yes,
if you remember.
Yes, we did.
But
that's when I told everyone you cannot make a buttonhole in dot sequin, just so you know. I'll repeat that.
Or embroider on it.
Right.
Which I found out, which is the same as making a buttonhole. I mean, machine
essentially,
embroider.
Yes,
it's very similar thing.
Don't try any satin stitches on that.
Yeah. I mean, you can. Have fun.
You try all you want.
Let
yeah.
us know how it goes. All right. So dot sequin is what we're talking about. is the mesh, and it's often a metallic mesh.
So it's usually, yes, I believe that it's a polyester and metallic mesh.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
And then the dot sequins glued on there. Now, I feel like that stuff where it's glued on the mesh, mm-hmm. those come off more easily
yes.
over time than the knit we discussed.
And
what
I,
do you think?
And, yes, and here's why.
True or false? No, I'm
true
kidding.
Or false. Well, the reason I think that, too, is because when we talk about the spandex knit, it already has like a rubbery metallic
yeah.
layer on it, and then the sequins are on it.
I don't know this. So I'm just completely making this up.
We're making this up.
I imagine that the knit, that kind of solid knit fabric.
You're not really making it up because you have experience
right.
with it. You don't know how it's made, but you do have experience
but
with
I
it.
But I bet that those little foil dots, those little foil sequins, they kind of get rolled on there and steamrolled on. But when you do they're
okay.
more flexible. They're thinner. But when you do that on the mesh, it's a mesh. There's not as much surface area.
That's exactly
for the glue
what I was going to say. They're glued to the mesh. They're not glued to a whole surface. Exactly. That's exactly what I was going
to yeah.
say.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Now, here's the thing about dot sequin on the mesh.
Uh-huh.
It was the first time
right.
that we in the sewing world got something we could just cut and sew with that didn't have a sewn on sequin that was affordable.
Right. And
especially
sewable.
For those cut, you know, I mean, I would think most people out there that have made some sort of costume, a dance costume or something, you know that you spend hours and hours and hours on this costume and it gets worn for a three-minute dance.
Right,
right,
right.
So dot sequin, I remember a couple years ago, I made a dot sequin vest
uh-huh.
for Elliot. I usually wind up making his costume because they order the girls' costumes and then they don't have a boy's costume that goes with it or whatever. And I just usually pull something from our stash, and that's what I did. It was like a multicolored dot sequin, and I was like, oh, my gosh, with the lights on it.
Oh, yeah, it's just
you
nuts.
Cannot – I mean, it was – he was just a glitter bug up there. He looked great.
Okay,
it looked great.
We made some easy tees out of
that's
that
right.
dot sequin. Now, mm-hmm. I do have to say the dot sequin that we are using is 20 years old.
Yeah, it's
okay.
gotten better.
It's
probably, gotten softer.
It's probably gotten better.
Yeah.
But I want to say, like, my easy tee with the dot sequin,
right.
the sequins have come off under the arm.
Yes,
where
they
my,
will.
Where my arm rubs.
Because,
okay.
Well, not only because it's rubbing, but because there's heat there.
Yeah, yeah, all
so
that.
So it's warmer under your
uh-huh.
arms. And, but here's the thing. That's okay, too, because if it was sleeveless, you'd probably want them to be off right there because they would bother you.
Well, I'm just saying.
Right.
This is where we're going.
Dot sequins will come off.
Yeah, this is where we're crawling up the glitter tolerance scale.
Or.
Which we're kind of defining as
right.
how okay are you with finding this stuff
right.
around
so,
your house.
So we had a red little shift dress with show choir in 1998. And one of the things that the show school had the show choir is one of the kids, their parents owned a dry cleaner.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, well, we'll clean all your costumes for you.
Uh-huh.
And my music director sent all of the costumes without asking me first. And then they all came back and he said, you know, they didn't send the red sequins dresses back. And I said, oh, they sent the red dresses back, mm-hmm. but the sequins are at the dry cleaner.
Right.
Because if any heat is used,
They're gone.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. So that's where that more, that's a woven dot sequin. But those can tend to come off more. They are pretty easily sewable. Okay, they're plastic.
Yes.
So once again, a nice needle, a nice sharp needle.
I serge and cut right through them with the serger blade. No problem.
If you are about to sew on the sequin stuff.
Right.
And you can't remember the last time you changed your needle. Just change it
right
now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't.
And refer to our episode about dot
sequin.
The podcast, because it talks a lot about, people talk about, you know, well, their glue gets on the needle. Yes, it does. And we tell you about how to deal with that and
uh-huh.
everything. Listen to that episode. It will make it so easy because we have sewn on some yardage of that dot
sequin.
Also,
once again, the recommendation about the rotary cutter.
Again.
Okay. Yes. So this, the dot sequin is a little more friendly than what we're going to get into
right.
next on your cutting table.
On
the cutting table,
yes.
You're not getting a lot of loose sequins when you just
right.
lay out your pattern.
Right.
Cut them. They're not flying everywhere. Okay. So next, we're going to get into, are we doing sewn
Sewn on sequins.
Sewn on sequins.
Or this could be beading, actually, too, yes, I guess. Or yes. Pearls, anything sort of that's sewn on to embellish. Now, this can be sewn on absolutely anything.
Right.
Okay? It can be stretch. It can be not stretch. It can be one-way stretch. It can be mesh stretch. It can just be on anything.
Yep. Anything.
Okay, you're right. Tool's a good one to bring up. And many of you may be familiar, you know, bridal is a big, big thing for beaded things like this and sequined things like this.
Let's talk about density. Okay.
Okay.
So we've done an episode and there's a blog post about my refurbished ballroom dress that had the sequin in the, you know, the serpentine pattern. It was, the beads. There were sequins too. There are sequins in it too.
I thought it was all beads.
No, there are sequins sewn on there as well. But they were glass beads. You can go look at it. She's giving me the stink eye here. There are glass beads sewn on that dress in such a dense way that what we actually did was we marked the seam lines, laid down painter's tape, hammered the painter's tape.
So that the broken glass and sequins were attached to the tape when we pulled it up.
That's right. So you can't sew through glass beads.
No.
Okay.
If you do, you will break needles. You will send, you know, little
flying shards of whatever.
Shrapnel across the sewing room. It will go in your eye. It will be all over the place. You'll never get it cleaned up, and you will wind up injuring yourself or someone else.
Yes. Now, this was very densely sewn on there. If it had been a wider pattern, you know, a less dense pattern, we could have gone in there and just broken the beads with a pair of pliers.
And that is. Especially, you'll see that in bridal when they're just taking a seam in or out, you know. And it, like you said, it's not such an all-over pattern.
Right.
It's sort of a here or there floral sort of scrolly design or something.
What that's doing is it's preserving the thread that thread there that's holding on that bead that's going to be in your seam line. It's holding on other beads.
So that thread is a running thread. It's not knotted between each bead like a string of, you know, nice pearls or something.
Right.
It is just a running stitch.
Mm-hmm. So you're preserving that thread, which is great. So, you know, glass beads, or I don't think that they put glass sequins on anything anymore.
Well, there's Swarovski crystals.
But that's a crystal. That's not a sequin.
Well, but what I'm thinking of, it's glass and it's flat, can be flat.
Okay.
Flat.
Okay. So crystals. Yeah. Things like that. Those are things you cannot sew through.
Right.
They need to be removed somehow.
Well, and a lot, especially if you're altering something.
Uh-huh.
You may want to remove some of those because you're going to then have to put them back on after you sew the seam.
That's right. So maybe you do want to you know, cut that thread and then knot it or secure it or something like that. However, after the fact, so after you've dealt with either hammering glass beads or whatever, once that garment's finished, the sparkly things are sewn on.
Right.
And they're not coming off generally.
Right.
And that's really nice.
Right.
Okay. So that's, I would call that a little more like, I'm envisioning lots of high-end garments here.
Yeah.
I'm envisioning wedding dresses and stuff. But then we get then we get into this very popular, color-changing sequin.
Okay. And the reason it color changes is because the sequins are sewn on, not in the center of the sequin, like traditional sequins we're used to.
Right.
So the sequins are flat and they're not beveled in any way.
Uh-huh.
And they're sewn on at one edge. So it allows them to flip. And they usually have one color on one side and one color on the other. So then when you go and you go against the nap, you come up with a different color.
Okay. And if you look at the back of the fabric, you see that these sequins are sewn real close together.
That's right.
Okay. Like, this is very dense here.
Mm-hmm.
If the sequins... Okay, so this is one scale of sequin.
Right.
Right? I don't know. What is that? Like 2 millimeters?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. The mermaid stuff or the color-changing sequin, that's really small. I don't remove these from the seam allowance ahead of time.
I don't either.
Our machines handle it?
Our machines handle them. I will go cut them out. After.
Yeah, sometimes I'll trim
inside,
them out
right.
if there's one sticking out.
I tend to trim them from the inside after I'm done.
But I've even sent this stuff through the serger.
Right.
And it's not really a problem.
The serger, right.
Yeah, it's not really a problem. Right. I'll cut something out. I have that blue maternity outfit that was made from that mm-hmm. other sequin that's sewn on. Now that's on a stretch fabric.
Right.
Okay, once again, the sequin was small enough and flexible enough that I sewed right through
it. Right through
it. However, cutting these things when you lay out your fabric and then you cut out your pattern
piece. It's like tiddlywinks. If anybody knows what tiddlywinks is. I know what tiddlywinks is.
Same.
It's like ting, 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 ting. They're going all over the place.
They're going all over the place. They're
popping. And they're going in your shoes and they're going on your clothes and you're going to take them every place with you.
And you want to, and you need to clean your cutting table off before you cut other fabric. So this was true for this color changing sequin. It was true for the sequin mesh I used to make my tights. Mm-hmm. Also that.
And those were tiny little sequins.
Oh man, they are.
But they're so pretty.
Okay, they're pretty.
And they're comfortable.
They are comfortable. It's sewn on that mesh that's really stretchy, but they were it got stuff everywhere.
Right. The interesting thing about those particular sequins too is most of the color is imparted by the color of the fabric. It's like a little clear holographic sequin.
It's a little clear.
Right, and the fabric gives it most of its color.
So when your sequins are on the small side, you can often leave them in a seam.
Yep.
You don't have to remove them ahead of time. Cutting them, though, you're going to cut through the thread or you're going to cut through that sequin. It's going to pop off, and that is going to be where you kind of have a little bit of a pain point. Now, I will say, as I was sewing my tights, I broke one needle.
Right. Well, it's going to happen.
And so it's not that you'll never break a needle on plastic sequins. I think it can hit just right.
I think what happens more than anything is it slides off the sequin and hits
like, at the part of the machine of the or plate. Something like that.
Or it gets it crooked and then the next stitch, you know, it doesn't work.
But on all of those tights. So I had like the back seam. I went around the foot. Okay. I attached them to like the shorts and everything like that. I broke one needle. And actually, it was at the beginning. And I wonder how old the needle was.
Well, and I made my costume, which had, you know, the upper bodice. And then I had the gauntlets on the sleeves. And I didn't break anything. No.
I broke your needle for you.
I even put a zipper in.
Yeah, through
some of it, and I had no problem with it. And I did clip a little bit off around the zipper afterwards.
Yeah.
It was a invisible zipper, and I did not want to get any of those caught in.
In the invisible zipper.
While I'm thinking of it, the other clever thing about those two-way sequins where they change color, people have probably seen this, is now what they do is they can laser print
them. They put
on
a picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen like Jeff Goldblum's face.
Oh, really?
Or a bad word.
You can actually have your own face put on, I think.
What?
I think there are places.
Oh, my God.
So you send in the photograph and you say, I would like my face on here and I would like it to go to hot pink when it goes the other way.
Who wants ZD's face
yeah.
on a sequin pillow? No, email me, mallory@sohere.com. I bet we can't get them ready by Christmas, but shoot. Okay, what if it was like your face, but then like rainbow and black sequins the other way?
Yeah, rainbow or if it was anytime.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Actually, I think my next performance piece has to be rainbow something. I've been thinking through this rainbow
stuff. I can't believe you can
get
your face printed on a reversible sequin thing.
Your dog, whatever.
No, my face. Okay. Let's move. I want to move on, though, to if you have something sewn on that's bigger. I did a live broadcast. It was these big medallion sequins. They were like an inch.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
With those, I mean, it's almost not a sequin. It's like a big plastic bead. I mean, you know, I guess it is a sequin.
Like a little shield or something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There were these big discs.
It is like poker chips.
Right. No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's larger than coins.
Right.
Okay.
But it is like coins.
So what I did, those were sewn onto a mesh. I traced my pattern in permanent marker. I drew it onto the reverse side. Mm-hmm. And I did cut the sequins out of the seam allowance.
Yeah.
Not because my machine wouldn't sew through that stuff, but I'd have this like weird half a sequin sticking out of the seam.
Right. What you do, I mean, there's a couple of things going on. You don't want the seam distorted.
Uh-huh. And like you said, if I'd had to cut one away from the seam area and then that area looked a little bare, I could choose to – I wouldn't I'd cut the sequin off, okay, right. there. I wouldn't cut the thread. But then I'd go to my scraps and find a sequin. I'd cut the thread and then I'd sew it back on. Right. So that is an area. But, I mean, a lot of times people are like, oh, I bought this sequin fabric. I have to cut all the sequins out of the seam allowance. If they're small enough, maybe not.
No, you might be better. Now, the other thing that might happen is when you make a sequin garment, especially if around the edges, so like the neckline, or if you have a sleeveless dress or something like that, the sequins will tend to slice into you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of ways to handle that. You can clip them off, right?
Yeah.
Or you can take tulle.
Uh-huh.
A very, and you want it like
T-U-L-L-E.
Right. You want a fine mesh tulle, like close mesh.
Uh-huh.
And you can... I usually use like white or like an off-white. And I've used it on colors.
Yeah,
and
it won't show.
And if you can take that and you can take some of that tulle and go over that area, say around the, underarm or something or where it's going, and that will hold them down and it will keep it from hurting you. So I did this a lot in especially gowns for brides when they had like a strapless gown, and it would get them like right in the side of their bosom and under their arm. And they'd say, what can you do about this? Like, I don't want to lose my sparkles,
It's the underarm, like right next to my elbow.
Yeah,
I've had, too. Right. So it's that far down.
Yeah, it can be.
Okay, fun story.
Right, and even the hem, people sometimes will need it around the hem because it will bother them as they walk.
Yeah.
So, all you do is like just... You can stitch it down with a machine or with the hand or whatever, but just put some tulle over it. You can't see it, and you still maintain your glitz.
So on my tights, so I used that sequin mesh.
Right.
And ZD, you used it on your costume.
Right.
But you didn't have anywhere where it was like rubbing
against
itself.
I didn't have a crotch
itself.
Catcher.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I did. So my inner thighs were covered in sequins. Now, I the way I made the tights, they were connected to a pair of shorts. I didn't make the
sequins. So the upper tights looked like a pair of pantyhose where you had the panty attached to the,
exactly. So, but I don't have a thigh gap. And, I don't think a lot of people have
I don't know. I kind of have a thigh gap, and I think it would catch on me, too.
Well, when I walked or when I crossed my legs.
Right, cross your leg.
Cross your ankle.
Depending on how you move your legs.
Whatever.
I'm not so sure. Mine wouldn't get hung up at my knees even sometimes.
The sequins would get caught on each other. And
well,
so,
my gauntlets got stuck on my boobs if I moved the... Yeah.
So as I was walking... The first few times in these tights, I literally got stopped in my tracks. I was like, whoa, I'm caught. And so I didn't go in there and trim those sequins, but I probably should have. I could have applied some mesh, but when I look at the sequins after two nights of wear, it was in like a night and then a full day of wear.
Right.
Because I wore them to one event and then I wore them to your performance.
Broke them in at one event and then went to the next one, right?
The inner thigh, the sequins have been all pulled off.
Somebody just told me today how beautifully sparkly you looked, and they thought you looked
good.
Really good. Yeah.
The other event I went to, people actually came to the event to see my tights, and I wasn't even there for sewing.
Cool.
I'm a draw. I have fans of my sparkly tights. I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, let's go up. To
scale.
The top of the glitter tolerance spectrum.
Yeah, and this would be just the fact that it exists.
It would be like you touch it and there's glitter on you
or
from head to toe.
Or even better is like you get, the yardage cut at the store and they put it in a bag with your other fabric.
Okay, there you go. Oh,
and
good
now
tip, good tip.
All of your fabric is sparkly.
So we've...
A really smart person that works at that store will put it in a separate bag.
A separate bag.
You. Yes.
So this is where, there's a fabric. It can be a knit or a woven. You'll see this on costume
stuff.
It's Halloween.
And it is literally glitter. I swear.
Then someone threw glitter on
it. And I have done that, okay? I have actually made costumes like that.
Yeah.
In the day, back in the day, so to speak. Is I would take spray glue and spray the costume and throw the glitter at it.
I mean, have you ever been in preschool and you put some school glue down and then you pour some glitter on top
of
it and you shake it?
That's how it's done. That's done.
This is the stuff that will drive people crazy.
Right.
And so this will shed on your cutting. So it'll shed in the fabric store. It'll shed on your cutting table.
Right.
It'll shed at your sewing machine.
Sheds in your car. It sheds every
place. And then it'll shed while you wear it forever and ever and ever.
And then you'll.
And it doesn't run out of glitter.
Okay.
Ever.
And here's what kills me is you're in the grocery store or something and you're checking out and the clerk will say, "You have glitter on your face." And I'm thinking, well, you have a tattoo on your neck. I wear glitter on my face. What's the problem? Like, it's like they think it's very strange that you have glitter on your face. It's not. It's the way I roll.
Yeah.
Glitter on my face, right?
So that is the stuff that you can look for and you can avoid.
And here's the deal.
If you want.
Usually it's not the expensive stuff. Okay?
Right.
This is usually on a lower end to get your glitz in. So this is what Ziti refers to as Halloween fabric. It only has to last one night, right?
Right.
And expect there not to be a lot of glitter left if it's rode hard.
I don't know. No, didn't you hear what I just said? It never runs out.
No,
it'll keep shedding forever.
But it's all on the floor and it's not on your garment
it'll
anymore.
It'll keep shedding forever.
But you can respray and rethrow glitter at it. It's been done, believe me.
When we made my ballroom costume out of that blue sequin, we didn't have a lot of time and you ordered a few sequin fabrics from this place online.
And we got one that was just glued on glitter.
Yeah, we got two. We got a gold and a blue that were like the same type of fabric.
Oh, yeah. It's that yellow gold one. Yeah.
They're over there.
We need to make something out of that.
And give it to somebody.
But see, I can't even imagine like if I would make that in an Ariel costume because it would just like rip right off into the fabric.
On our level, this is up the glitter tolerance scale. However, Ziti and I aren't quite as interested in this stuff, not because it sheds a lot and that's annoying,
right?
But because it sheds a lot and it doesn't preserve our vision.
The garment, the vision.
That's
right. Exactly.
So if you had made me that blue dress, that ballroom dress, maybe after two rehearsals it wouldn't be quite as glittery.
Right.
Whereas we use stuff with sewn on sequins and it did remain glittery.
You know, one of the things you can do with that glittery fabric is wrap gifts in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet people love that, too.
Yeah,
that works.
They do. They like it. It gets all over the place. They like that. Okay. Who cares if there's glitter in your carpet? I don't understand that. Like, I want glitter in my carpet.
So I have an Aunt Lauren. She's not really my aunt, but she's mom's really
good
friend.
But she is an Aunt Lauren. Yes.
She's my Aunt Lauren.
Or Aunt Lala.
She's like, your mom, way back in the day. My husband would see a letter from her, and he'd say, you go open that outside, because she would always include all this glitter with it. And so I know Mom already told that story, but I was told that, like, independently a few years ago, and I was like, well,
it's my legacy.
I'm unsurprised
my legacy.
By that. Yeah. So anyway.
It just amazes me when people say, what do you do about this glitter getting all over the place? And I'm like, nothing.
No,
like, I don't do anything about it.
I don't like it. I don't like being looked down upon due to the glitter.
I'm a glitter girl.
Exactly. Now, I do like me a sew-on Swarovski crystal.
Oh, yeah.
That would be
okay, too.
It's fine.
I don't turn down those crystals. No.
As Jack's mom in Into the Woods says.
Okay. I used to call myself a magpie. What did he say?
It's too late. You already interrupted me. It's fine. Okay.
What did Jack's mother say?
She said, that's okay, too.
Yeah, and that's all okay, too. Yeah, I used to call myself a magpie, and then I read about magpies.
Uh-huh.
And that's just like...
It's just
an
not
urban
true.
Legend that they go around and get shiny stuff. They don't, like, steal people's watches and stuff and put them in their nest or whatever. But, you know, what else would I call myself?
A glitter bug? A ziti. That's all.
Yeah,
well,
whatever.
I hope... Maybe I can make a graphic.
I picked out your glasses, and they have rhinestones.
They do.
Yes.
And they're not spray-on glitter glasses.
No,
so maybe I can make a graphic of the glitter tolerance scale.
Yes. There's like the wearing one, the sewing
one. So I have to make two, right?
Yeah, there's two scales.
The making and the wearing. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Oh, you got anything else to add about glitter?
So I have three glitter pillows in my living room.
Uh-huh.
Just so everybody knows. And I guess I should bring up what your dad said when we were redoing our kitchen. And I said, no, I want the countertop that has the sequin in it. And he goes, oh, my gosh, do we have to call it that?
So it had like a fleck, like a mica fleck in it,
well,
and you called it sequins.
Know, Valerie's dad has had to wear, like, you know, sequin dresses so I could mark the hem and things like that. So poor guy, yeah, you know.
Whatever. I mean, yeah. He probably enjoyed
it. And when
it.
I say something like, well, we're going to put glitter in the paint, he believes me now. He used to think I was kidding. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Now he believes me.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. You can get a hold of me at mallory@sohere.com. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.